You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings.
Finally
have a home. Yeah. I was watching you and I got all distracted.
Oh, yeah, I was doing
always
a lot of gyrations.
Part of every episode. Well, Mike, we got another short episode coming because why not? We ain't got much to talk about. There's like a couple of things. Hockey Town draft party. Mike, I got permission from the wife to go. So we will see all at the Hockey Town draft party. Look like also, Grindline Pod and what's the Red Wings daily one? Oh my God. I'm forgetting because I'm an idiot. I'm not playing a game here.
Matt, throwing a little shade. Lockdown, what's your name
right.
again?
Don't Lockdown Red Wings. Boom. No, I'm so sorry, guys. Lockdown Red Wings, a Grindline Pod. They were trying to start a conversation on Twitter. It didn't go anywhere, but I assume it'll end up us syncing up at the big show. Maybe fighting.
Twitter,
maybe a big brawl.
Today's the end of Twitter. Is it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. The Iron Sheik, rest in peace, passed away today.
Oh, yeah.
There's no more Twitter after that. He was the king, Bubba. I break your fucking neck, Hulk Hogan. You Hollywood blonde jabroni.
You know, it's fun. Like, this is how Jeff Merrick actually opened his podcast this week, too. He had on Dave Meltzer during Stanley Cup Finals. During the Stanley Cup Finals, Jeff Merrick had Dave Meltzer on to talk Iron Sheik. And I'm pretty sure Puck Soup will do it, too. So, you know what, guys? That's what hockey podcasts do. We talk about, well, you know, sad news. Joe, what's going on? Woo! Curtis, my man, what's going on, Curtis? Miss you, buddy. It's been a while. He's hungry for barbecue now. He's very distracting. Yeah, Mike is very distracting.
Joe, I will take Craig, that as a compliment Craig, and a compliment. Thank you.
Craig said the Winged Wheel podcast was the one I was thinking of. You know what? They shared us last week when I was all upset. Oh, that could have been a show topic today. They shared us last week when I was all upset about the new draft hats because I collect the draft hats.
You collect the draft hats?
Yeah.
I thought you just collected Batman Funkos. Do you put the hats on the little Funkos? How does that
collect
work?
A lot of things. I have a lot of money to spread around. But yeah, I've reached out. They're too big for us, apparently, Mike. They don't answer our requests to do like combo shows or whatever.
Collaborations.
Yeah. But that being said, we've had some collabs set up with some of the other podcasts, you know, the ones previously mentioned, like Grindline Pod and Lockdown. Yeah. And I've just ghosted them. Like I just was like, oh God, all right, nope, don't want to do it. And then I stopped, but we still keep in contact. I just,
you flirt from afar, but you never actually meet in public. I got you.
Right. Exactly.
But Jared, saying those hats are trucker garbage. Also not a huge fan.
Oh my God. They're so disgusting. Curtis, rumor has it Mike's gyrations have distracted planes from hitting runways. Oh, wow. Ooh. That's
I'm gonna try and bust
a
move
compliment.
On
holy mackerel.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and bust a move on draft night. See if I can get a few guys to fall to the Red Wings, huh? Yeah.
Let's see if I can pull this up real quick. This is we'll show
I
you
just
guys.
Gave myself a concussion.
Did you hit yourself in the head?
No, I moved so fast in such a short span that my brain crashed into the front of my skull.
You sound like my daughter, like, no, I just went so fast.
For me it was fast.
Ugly ass,
you're not happy
hat.
With this hat?
No, they put a patch on it so that they could just buy 100,000 trucker hats and not have to actually do like embroider a Red Wings logo. Like the one on this hat right now has depth, like you could feel around the wing, like there's different size.
Can you turn it around real quick so we can make a an accurate judgment of this draft hat? Wow, that is way different than putting a patch on a hat.
It is. They're cheaping out. This is bold. Look at the black. What is the black? Where's all this black coming from on Red Wings stuff?
Man, that's one of the core colors for the Detroit Black Wings. What are you talking about?
I mean, I guess I have black right here for the NHL logo. So,
no, I don't know about this new fascination with adding more black to the hats and uniforms. I thought red and white was pretty solid, and apparently that's not enough for some people. Huh? Not enough. But yeah, we can get that ugly hat off of there. Anything? Oh, you've ruined Curtis's appetite by bringing up that hat.
Sorry, Curtis. I didn't mean to. All right. Well, so we'll hopefully some of you guys are into the Detroit area and we could party Wednesday, yeah. June 28th. I think the party starts at 6. That's a work day for me downtown. I say, you know, I work from home kind of stuff, but I'm working downtown
right
that day.
As we're picking. I will be.
Oh yeah. That day. Yeah. Mike will have a journey. So I'll be down there to party with y'all. So yeah, I think Twitter's probably, Mike's going to stop using Twitter, but I'll still be on there. You guys can just hit us up. Let us know where you're at. And
we lost a Twitter. We lost a true Twitter king, Matt. I don't think there's any question there.
For sure. Kubelik,
male model of the year. I like this. Yeah.
Nominated for male player of the year from the IIHF. Tremendous effort from Moritz Seider. Kubelik threw some Kubi rubies in the back of the net. This is pretty neat. This is just me campaigning further for how much this, like how little this does for me now, like this kind of stuff. This is just going to be my continuous campaign. Like, I think it's really cool. Like, I used to root for Pavel Datsyuk to win in the Olympics. How crazy is that? That's how big a Pavel Datsyuk fan I was.
No, that does interest me more than the United States triumphing. I would rather watch the Ruskies and Datsyuk win. I agree.
Yeah, but it's, you know what I mean? Like, right now, I'm just so frustrated with this team. Like, that was always the cherry on top. And now I'm just like, so what, Kubi? Get over here and fill our opponent's net with pucks while you're wearing a winged wheel. Like, I just get frustrated with this. It's less celebration like it used to be. It was always fun to put the cherry on top. Now it's just like, okay, I guess we were great again in international play. Good job, Germany.
Yeah, it's I don't want you to demonstrate how good you are outside of the red and white uniform. So I think this again comes back to the main thesis. We don't care what you accomplish unless it's in red and white.
Joe wanted to let us know that his name is Joe and he likes to party. Pretty sure that's is that Hot Rod reference?
Ooh.
Is that what that's from?
I really didn't think I'd like that movie, and then I found myself laughing the entire time.
I did the same thing.
We can't get too off track though.
I know. No, you're right.
And Chewy wants to meet downtown as well. Mike,
you got it, Chewy. If you're downtown, just hit us up. Hit us up on Instagram. That's how Chewy and I usually chat. So, Hot Rod. Yeah. Nice. All right. Just some cute stuff here. More cute. Oh, that's not it.
We skipped like six slides. You're giving away all the magic. Oh, yeah, you're going the wrong way. Okay.
I did it. This is where I wanted to be. And then we'll jump into the show topic, of course, talking about Sweet Baby Ray. But Elliot Friedman listing the St. Louis Blues and the Detroit Red Wings as the front runners for the Alex DeBrincat landing spot. We're trying to figure out, are we moving DeBrincat to just get the rights and then we're going to sign him? Like, how much do you give up in that scenario? Some people have been absolutely nuts with taking, like Ottawa Senators fans, of course, taking some first round picks off of us, like multiple first round picks. And it's like, all right, that's not what we're doing here. That's not what Steve's about. But, you know, it would be like Ottawa's in a shit spot. So the only way I think you're giving up a ton for DeBrincat is if St. Louis is really making a huge push. So it does sound like that's our big competition, according to Friedman. It's exciting, too. How often does Elliot Friedman talk about the Detroit Red Wings when it comes to NHL news? And a guy with a, you know, hell of a ripper, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to rip one with excitement here if we happen to get to bring it. I do want to throw in Joe Diamond's zinger in here saying, slides have all been shown, show over, lol.
all right, I took him off. We'll go backwards.
But, Matt, can you just touch on real quick why DeBrincat is... why he's a guy Ottawa's willing to part with?
Oh, well, that would all be Alex's request. The news is that he wants out. Not happy.
Find him. Is he going to be happy going from one floundering fringe team to another floundering fringe team? Or
I don't know. You got to be able to do a better job convincing him that you're going to treat him well. You're going to put him in a good spot to be successful, and that you're close to some winning. Because if I was to brink it, I had front row seats to an absolute face dragging, you know, debacle of a Red Wings performance in front of the Ottawa Senators. So, yeah.
I will say JLG weighing in, the DeBrincat contract would not be worth it. You're looking at a contract 8 or 9+. Let him go to St. Louis out of the conference and eat that salary for a guy who underperformed this contract year. Yeah, but underperforming guys, sometimes it is, you know, we could think about Jack Eichel kind of being like, I don't want to be around anymore. So, I mean, if DeBrincat is also pulling a Carl Havoc and he just doesn't want to be around Ottawa anymore and he'd rather be in Detroit where we believe in red and white and sometimes black.
That's
maybe
close
he wouldn't mind being, you know, part of this project over here. As far as St. Louis, don't you think you'd be a little surprised if they were suddenly in the market for acquiring guys when it kind of feels like they're trying to reboot a little bit? This smells like a Red Wing. Like, depending on who his insider is, Elliot Friedman. I'm just saying this sounds like the guy that you're gonna this age, you know, position, this collection of skills. I think you're gonna try and, you know, attach a lot of Red Wing names, it's him or it's agents trying to do that, because you know the Red Wings are kind of in the market for a guy who's, 25, about to be prime years, and he scores goals because we have such a horrible GD time scoring goals for some reason.
So the book on DeBrincat is you need a team that plays a possession game, and you need to just get the puck in the offensive zone and put him in position to rip it. So there's a team that when I was listening to 32 Thoughts today, I was kind of like, it was the first team that came to mind. And then Jeff Merrick said it too. So I'll give him credit since he was on the air first today with this. But this is who came to mind and makes way more sense than us, because we are not a possession team. But the Carolina Hurricanes, getting close again. They should make some room for an Alex DeBrincat on that team. Like, they're a team that you're always looking at them going, when are they going to get the guy that's going to finish and win playoff rounds for them, get them to the Stanley Cup finals? Now, to GLJ's point that he didn't perform well, I think there is, again, like the dump and chase style that Ottawa and Detroit have been playing for the last few years just to stay competitive in games. Well, we got away from that in the first half of the year, so we at least could prove to DeBrincat that it's possible that we can get away from that. That's definitely, I would say, like, you want to talk about cause and effect. You know, that's where you could definitely tie some threads and say, all right, that's where the drop-off came from. Because what was he doing with Chicago? Getting set up and then grip it and rip it. So another team that holds the puck all day long and just needs to make space for DeBrincat. I think a better fit is Carolina. I like GLJ's comment of, like, if this contract's going to be insane, let's not make him the highest paid player on the team. So those conversations couldn't and shouldn't just be about the trade. They've got to go into contract negotiations with DeBrincat. I tend to agree that this number does sort of hurt when you read it. But this is also a guy that's projected to give you, he's projected to perform at that level. It's just this past year was terrible, and a lot of the correlation has been strategy team around him. Ottawa's moving. They're moving forward, but they weren't in that position yet to just own the puck, possess all day long and then set up a guy like DeBrincat. So GLJ also comments, lots of moving parts, and do you want to get involved in that? No, I do. I will say this, Mike, when this happens, I love the chaos of it all. I feel like we've lacked some chaos besides me just being pissed that we gave huge contracts to Andrew Kopp and Ben Chiarot, who are also ranked as the two of the worst contracts in the league from The Athletic. You know what? I'm going to pat myself on the back because
I know you're a little afraid to add a third contract to potentially the worst contracts in the league. But I feel like sometimes stuff like this, there's not going to be a perfect player available where it's like, I'm okay kind of underperforming a guy who's also going to wildly outperform his contract. Give me that perfect player that we just pay him like five and he plays like a, 100 point a season player. Give me one of those. It's like, those aren't going to fall into your lap. So I'm wondering if it might be best if this is, a top tier goal scorer available, Matt. Yeah, maybe you sign him for a little bit longer, and you usually got to add about, 20% to what he's actually worth when you're doing a free agent contract. And then, if it doesn't work out for a year or two, he's still young enough that he could be moved. So I don't think it would be an impossible endeavor to, kick the can on this guy. So I think it might be a risk to explore, especially for a team with a complete, almost open cap sheet that I think we could make work.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely one of those teams where, like, once that conversation starts, I think you'd have to be, like, for a guy like Elliot Friedman, too, that'd have to be a team that you'd want to figure out what's going on with.
Do you want to throw Joe's rib in there? Because reading it to myself, I will spit Coke Zero all over myself. Mike said he's going to rip one, and then this smells like a red wing. I hope you guys were there to read that because I tried to read it out loud and I couldn't get past making a fart that smells like a red wing. Oh, thank you, Joe.
How about Jared? Ansar Khan, a lot of money is going to be opened up with the idea that Yzerman is only going to sign Pius and Chiasson, let the other UFAs walk. It's actually kind of fun to think about. That was something actually on the drive home today. Like, I'm always kind of brainstorming, like, what can we talk about? And in the video game.
Wait, before you get away from that, can we just say for the record that would mean he's letting what? Adam Ernie walk, Hag, Osterley, and Magnus, and Pisic, who we never even got a chance to see play.
There's a bunch of cats in my office now.
Is Nedeljkovic, does he count? Yeah, his contract's up too, so we're saying that he's gone as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I gotta say, like, not a bad idea, but you're not trimming a lot of fat. Those aren't really like huge money deals coming off the books.
We're going to have more roster spaces to fill. And your projected cap space is already at the point where you've got to make some contract. You've got to bring in some contracts to get you over
the floor, the contract. Floor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, like, when you look ahead, and we're going to talk about another contract we're going to be working on soon here. 30 mil projected this year, mm-hmm. 49 next year. Can we afford to bring in an $8 or $9 million contract? Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We are one of the teams that can take that risk. And $1 million increase on the cap this upcoming season after Gary Bettman did his Stanley Cup finals thingy. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of hinted like, yeah, and it'll go up further after that. So like not just another mil the next year, but a couple of mil moving forward. So, I mean, it's not going to feel as bad as, like going back to like the Dylan Larkin contract conversation where we're like, oh my God, if you get Dylan under nine, woo boy.
Well, I will say, I know that there's a lot of concern about making sure guys make less money than Larkin. But to me, it almost feels like Larkin has accepted, like a Tom Brady contract, where it's like, Yeah, I'll make less and then just surround me with good players. Please, for the love of God, please get me some talent and surround me with good players. That's what it feels like Larkin's main concern is getting talent in this town. So yeah, as a team that's going to have 30, what did you say? Is it built up to 40 or 49, which is not going to be possible because of the guys we're going to have to sign this year. But
right.
Yeah, I think, you know, you could fit DeBrincat in there. And as far as other guys becoming available, we have so much room. You could still trade for one or two of those guys and then still fill out the roster with all these, you know, young players that are coming up through the pipeline in the next, you know, year and a half, 2 years.
And the market for Lucas Raymond may have been set, so we're going to do a quick ad. We'll come back. We'll talk about what Lucas Raymond's contract could be. Light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. Who are you guys going to put your money down for? Put your money down for Jack Eichel? Put your money down for Matthew Tkachuk? I don't know. It's up to you. Every time I give advice, it's horrible. But what I can tell you is for you to have fun. The advice I can give is to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit Gambling Helpline. MA.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700 on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. 21 and up in eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources.
Yeah.
So our boy, Jared, sent me a link just reminding me that I didn't really make my point on Pew Suter, but I was as brainstorming like what I want to see the Wings do that would be sort of like easy to do. Okay. What I'm going to mention, I don't think is possible. But in the video game, I locked up my fourth line center for 7 years on a $1 million contract. And that was Mr. Pew Suter. Mm. Finished out... played the, you know, restarted
really
my franchise.
You would, we were worried you would wouldn't leave us hanging on that point, Matt, about your video game. No,
I know you guys.
Commercial break. Yeah,
you guys heard like
I'm
in the video game.
Over here,
yeah, you heard in the video game, and you are all like, "Oh God, Mike interrupted him. What is he getting? What did he do in the video game?" Okay.
Ooh.
Setting the market for Mr. Lucas Raymond.
Ooh.
Caulfield's contract, 7.9 for 8 years. Our boy, Cole. I'm going to call him our boy for a second here.
That guy got, Matt, $56 million, and he has no PP.
Yeah, it's no PP.
Took you a second to process that one, but yep. Zero. PP, zero.
Now, his goals per 60 is 98%. So what we're showing right now for all the podcast listeners is Cole's Jay Fresh player card. Of course, again, let's, you know, and also what the Montreal Canadiens posted, I think. No, Sportsnet posted. 8 years, 7.85 AAV. Rounded up to 7.9 on the Jay Fresh card here. 95% finishing, 74% even strength offense. But as you can see, based on the even strength defensive play, not necessarily bringing in the production or stopping the production of his opponent. So what you would see is, you know, very strong one-sided forward here. Except that that 0% PP. That doesn't, I feel like that doesn't add up. But anyway, Caulfield, 86% WAR, cap set 7.9, AAV 7.85. So I thought, why don't we take a look at Lucas, who ain't doing so hot on the even strength defense either.
I would say this before you jump to Lucas, it's kind of interesting that they're willing to give that much money to Cole at 22 with his WAR percentile rank where it is. And they're saying he's this good and he contributes nothing on special teams. If we get even a little bit of something on either special teams, offensively or defensively, what a player we may have. And now we move to Mr. Rain.
Yeah, so with Lucas, just to compare the numbers here, the projected WAR right now for Lucas is 58%. Again, comparing that to the 86% that Cole has. His even strength numbers, bottom 30% of the league, bottom 19% of the league. But it's where the power play can help Lucas get that extra step up, at least on these player cards and comparing them to players. Now, Mike, let's do this. I want to get this out of the way. Would I rather have Lucas Raymond or Cole right now? I'd rather have Lucas Raymond.
Is that because you drafted him?
Yes.
If we just had both of their numbers back to back with their names covered, you would not pick Cole Caulfield.
No, I love Lucas too much. So this isn't, the reason that I'm saying that is because we're not playing the game here of who would I rather have.
Okay.
Right? That's not a part of the equation. We have Lucas Raymond. Cole is now a Montreal Canadian for the next 8 seasons. So it's not about that. What this is about is taking advantage of where these numbers are at. Because the analytics have to come into play when these guys sit at the contract table. Lucas is going to make a play. Cole made his play, but Lucas is going to make a play. Steve's going to make a play. And I think we have a great opportunity here to lock up Lucas Raymond for almost under 7 mil right now on a lengthy contract. Lock him up for those 8 years. And like you said, you feel like maybe it was almost irresponsible for the Canadians to lock up Cole. We know that he's a pillar in Montreal, just like Lucas right now with who's on the team. And you had to construct 4 pillars. Lucas would have to be one of them right now, right?
I almost want to say it's by default because of where he was drafted, how many minutes he gets, and he better be a pillar. pretty terrifying if this guy doesn't, pan out. Joe Diamond would Caulfield rips when it smells like maple syrup. There's that wish I could rip some maple syrup farts, Mr. Diamond.
Dan B coming in with the first number, 6.5 to 6.75 for Lucas.
This to me feels like, you want to sign him earlier because do you think that he's going to have a more fruitful career than Caulfield?
I think he's going to have a fruitful enough career that I want him for 8 years. But I think Caulfield's numbers help set the market for Lucas Raymond. And I think Dan B's right where my head's at. Caulfield set the market. Right now you could take a look at the analytics and say that Caulfield has done better than Lucas Raymond. So you take advantage of that. Use Caulfield's market or the number as the definition of the current market on a winger for around their age. And you're going to lock up Lucas for 8 years. Now, I think the fear here right now is you wait too long. Lucas is going to start thinking bridge deal. You know, I'll play along with these games. Oh, shoot. Let me, I got to plug in my laptop.
Well, I know one thing that, you know, Matt wants to do is lock this guy up into a mortgage. I would say, you know, before we really dive into that, he scored, 45 points in 74 games. So before we give a guy, 8 or 9 million a year, I wish that we could, give it a little more time and see how he develops this season, before locking him up into a, slightly below Caulfield contract. Cause I guess I just feel a little snake bit with, top of the draft picks by the Red Wings, where I just don't want to get, seduced by one season or Zadina'd.
So you prefer the bridge deal with Lucas?
You mean like a significant
shorter deal?
Bump. Yeah, like a significant betting on him. You're going to get paid 4 more times than what you're getting paid now, but we're only going to give it to you for like 3 or 4 years. I feel like that.
No, he's not necessarily getting paid way more right now, but maybe it's just easier for both sides to agree on a number. And then both of them, you know, Steve, at that point, maybe he is a little worried Lucas isn't going to be able to keep up. And then for Lucas, he's like, no, I'm going to get paid after these 4 years, but he gets paid a fair amount. But after, you know, 3 years, 4 years, I can't remember what the RFA limit would be there. Then Lucas would be able to make bank.
Do they still do the arbitration in the restricted free agent years?
Yeah, I don't think our boy is eligible after that first. Or even if he was, like, I don't know what game he's going to play. When are these guys eligible?
Oh, do you mean contract length? So Lucas has this year guaranteed, and the next year's is restricted free agency.
No, you're asking about arbitration. I'm trying to figure out when he'd be eligible for arbitration. I don't know that off the top of my head. Is that what you were asking? This is dumb to just go have the two of us sit here and go, I don't know. Well, do you know? Nope, I don't know.
That's kind of what I was alluding to. I don't know. I guess I'm just not dying to pay these guys yet because I just feel like we haven't quite seen it yet. So, I mean, like, I'm more gung-ho about bringing in DeBrincat because I've seen him perform. He would immediately be either the best or second best goal scorer on our team. I haven't seen it yet from Lucas. Yes, he's 21 years old, very young man. But I don't know, his sophomore year just kind of gave me a little bit of pause and I was like, oh, I guess he's going to need time to develop like a normal hockey player. I thought he was going to shotgun and just, you know, keep, you know, improving and escalating at a really rapid rate, and he might be a normal good player instead of a really, 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 really good player. That's why it almost feels like it's in everybody's best interest for the Red Wings risk management in terms of getting the cap together and then Lucas getting as much money as he possibly can. So, you know, waiting till next offseason instead of trying to figure something out this season so that you can kind of show what you're made of, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I totally get where your head's at. I think maybe I see two different players on the ice. Lucas, to me, looks like somebody that's going to perform. And if you lock him up, like on the Dan P contract we've got up on the screen right now, that's 6.5. I think that's a major win. Now, GLJ throws out there, if you're Raymond, play another year, raise your value. GLJ also throws out there, cap goes up a few million, that amount that you're going to be, you know, would be considered more reasonable to sign for, what Steve's going to be more willing to offer is also going to increase for Lucas. So that's a great point from GLJ and benefit of Lucas. Yeah. Raymond.
It feels like we're kind of in agreement here because Dan B also saying Raymond regressed in his second year, but that's not uncommon. Absolutely true. And I think Raymond is a better all around player.
Yeah, I would agree with Dan B here. I think you are seeing Lucas start to put things together defensively. And you got to remember, too, like we're talking about a second year guy, but he's also 21 years old. Like there's some Lucas Raymond to be added to the frame of Lucas Raymond still. So I'm not so quick to jump on a bad second year because I think you've seen that a lot over the over the average life of a hockey player, that second year, the first year, but the growth, the third, fourth, fifth years where things really start to play out.
Righteous jumping in there too, saying I'd say negotiate after the RFA window. Yeah. I mean, let's, you know, build some resume before we start, you know, signing checks. So I agree with that too.
And Jared, Lucas is going to be a 20 to 25 goal scorer.
I hope so.
Well, I'll put it this way. Where my head's at, and if you think that Lucas is going to be one of those franchise pillars, I think you're at a point right now where you want to start those negotiations. Because if Lucas is smart, he will hold on, like GLJ put out there. But if you could lock him up and you believe... Oh. and you believe, like I do, that Lucas is going to be a pillar for this franchise, then yeah. this is the time to start that conversation, because I think Caulfield's market that he set is a little too high for Lucas. But that's me from Steve's perspective. If you're Lucas and his agent, you want to see what can happen over the next year. So I totally understand that from Lucas's perspective. And then, like Mike said, if you're not quite ready to dive in with Lucas Raymond, you don't have to. You've got a whole year to watch him. I do kind of like the side of it, too, like as they're trying to build a culture here and build some pillars that, all right, now I am building around Lucas Raymond. And I'm telling that to Lucas with a deal before this contract is up. I'm giving him and his agent something to be excited about. That's going to help build the culture for the team. Making him wait just says to Lucas, I'm not sure, which is fine. But at some point, I feel like we've got to show some of these guys like, yeah, I really believe in you. I really want you to be a part of this franchise. And it sounds silly, but these are human beings. So, yeah, I'm making the silly point here of like, oh, make them feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And then we'll be a happier franchise. You know, maybe that means zero wins, but, you know, hey, you'll get another lottery win. Right. And then you'll have somebody great and Lucas Raymond will move down to the third line. And in 6 years, that contract will feel like nothing. And he'll be a great bottom six for the Red Wings. Anyway, GLJ, Vegas doesn't have that one player that scored over 30 this year. And the Wings never won a cup when Yzerman scored over 30. Bingo, bingo.
Yeah, I would, you know, I guess I'd just, you know, make life a little bit easier, I'd say.
Chewy says, in the next few years, Razor could be better than Larks. Dan B. Stevie is very good at dealing with salary structure. Just look at what he did in Tampa. That's actually a great point to think about, like, the Stamkos deal. Like, how he... That's a pillar of the franchise that he made wait until the very last second. That's actually a good point to bring up, just to say, like, Steve's never done that, where he's tried to make a guy feel all warm and fuzzy, so why would he start with Lucas Raymond? If he's going to start with anybody, it's going to be Cider.
I do want to just gently push back on 30 goal scorers. Part of that is because Mark Stone was hurt a lot. I mean, he still had 38 points in 43 games. Eichel had 66 in 67 games. And it really feels like the Red Wings just really struggle to get guys who, you know, are that game-to-game, you know, what's the word I want to use? I almost use the word fruitful again. Just at least getting a point-a-night game guy. It's tough for us to get those.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point there, Mike, like, you need those guys to get through. You know, that's how they're getting through the playoffs. But to GLJ's point, they still made it to the playoffs and were a top team in the Western Conference without those guys. So,
yeah, well, I mean, the other thing, too, is they still managed, right, Mark Stone not playing many games. So, I mean, we lost. We had a couple, you know, who's our 6 foot six? The tree. Man, why is my brain failing me? He was playing with our tall boy lineup, our center, who got hurt. And the whole team crumbled for like six games, and then we were completely out of the playoffs.
Wait, are you talking about Rasmussen?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, you know, Vegas definitely managed injuries better than we did. So GLG, I'm still giving you credit for that.
GLJ.
Yeah.
All right. Joe throws out there, let's not forget, DeBrincat's from Farmington Hills. Chewy, mm-hmm. I think, wait, where was it? What do you say? Be better than Larks. Jared says, press X for doubt. You don't think it's possible? And Jared said, I don't. I think he could get close, but not surpass. Right.
Yeah. Thank you. I got some support here for Ras. I would be surprised if he surpassed him, just because we know Larkin is, you know, his entire career has had that otherworldly speed that not a lot of players had.
I'd be surprised. I'm with Chewy. 30 goals, no problem. Light it up. There's injuries on this team this year. There's, like, come on. I mean, you had to depend on a big bag of shit like Andrew Kopp on the second line. So how are we going to start scoring? Sorry, I'm just throwing in my jabs.
You're very, very verbose. Did you have
probably
a couple
the one line my daughter heard?
Did you have a couple? I think you had a wrap 'em chart you're just going to throw in there. So I know we had a couple slides.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want them to go to waste. I know you work hard on them.
This is comparing the even strength side of things for Lucas Raymond and Cole. Obviously, Cole is he'll. So what Cole does, according to this wrap 'em chart from Evolving Hockey, is he's got a bucket full of jewels, right? It's 9 feet, and he's got to reach in there all he can to grab at least one jewel. He'll get a handful, but he's also going to fall into that bucket and nearly drown, which he's got a good goals for per 60. But that expected goals against per 60 is woof. It's at the bottom of the barrel there, Mike. Those are not good numbers.
What was the top of the barrel was that analogy, man. I didn't know where you were going with the bucket of jewels, but
I knew. Yeah, I could see.
Yeah, that was a real Michael Scott analogy.
Wasn't that a ride?
With the body of an egret and the mind of an emu. Okay, no, but go ahead, man.
And now on the power play side, comparing the two, Lucas has definitely had as 444 power play minutes to Cole's 355. He's definitely had more success. This is something too that being 21, you build on as you get smarter. You learn a little bit more about the game, and it's going to be more about utilizing the tools that Lucas has at the right spot at the right time. So I think these numbers have a potential to go up. So yeah.
Yeah, this wrap-up chart.
30 goals, no problem.
Lucas Raymond's agent has this one. So he's like, yeah, give me a little bumperooski over Caulfield over there.
Steve, do you use wrap-up charts? No? No? Oh yeah, here's this one. Blue is good. Dad B. Caulfield shoots the puck always. Lucas doesn't, but he should. Yeah, and Lucas has been showing he can really rip it too with the first couple games before the World Championship started. We saw some pretty good replays. Okay, guys, time to wrap up. I appreciate y'all coming along. It's all we had for today, and we will keep trudging along through the off season. We've got a couple weeks from today, 3 weeks from today, we will see you guys at the LCA. So obviously we won't be recording an episode, but maybe on the way home, I don't know. Maybe we could go live on the way home. The next couple weeks we'll hit up some draft talk, and then we're not going to do draft talk. You don't want to worry about draft talk on the 28th because already have happened. So won't be missing anything.
Jared, to answer your question, does Raymond get a false tooth? No.
Red Wing scented farts.
Where's that candle at Little Caesars Arena? I would buy that. We need a Bertuzzi look is what I was going to get at, Jared. But you took my line out of your own mouth to answer your question. But yes, I agree. Red Wing fart candles. We have a lot of clothing for Red Wings rant. I think our first candle should be Red Wing farts.
Well, yeah, guys, if you had a little bit of fun, hit that like button, subscribe so you don't miss any episodes in the future. And of course, if you're listening to the podcast, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Dan B saying, are you guys going to be at LCA for drafts?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We will be there. Hit us up on Twitter or Instagram. Let's all grab some beers together, boys. All right.
Peace.